I think we have this oftentimes this idea that we need to have it all figured out. You know, that we should have, you know, you ask even younger people, entrepreneurs or people who begin, they think that they should have it all figured out. And what crazy amount of pressure to put on yourself if you haven't allowed yourself to experiment different things.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to conversation number 81 of the Christoph Lewis Podcast. I'm so dang excited that you're here with me today. I'm always, always appreciative of your time. I love podcasting. I love learning myself, capturing that learning that's going on and sharing it with you. I get to talk to some of the most incredible people. And my guest today is incredible. He is JF Benoit, and he is an addiction counselor coming out of Hawaii. He's an incredible person. He actually he talked to me in a sense of helping me today towards the end of the podcast, so stick around for that. He helps me kind of help fix some of the things, the crazy things that are going on my brain and how I live my life. I'm very goal oriented, and sometimes I only feel good about myself if I'm getting those goals completed. So if you're like that, you're gonna really like this conversation. He's the author of Addicted to the Monkey Mind, which you can find the book in the show notes, don't worry. And this book is just written so well. I'm absolutely fascinated with this conversation, and I hope you enjoy it too. You can find this conversation and all the conversations and contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm always, always, always excited to record with the guest. And that's like selfishly part of the reason why I haven't repeated a guest in 81 conversations. This is the 81st guest. And I'm just like, I want to keep on talking to new people I haven't met before. I think it's so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And I have your book up here and I want to thank you for that. And I'm reading a book a week for background on myself, a book a week for a year. And I'm on book 13 and this is in the queue to read. And I can't wait because when I had it and when I had given it to me, I read the first couple pages and like, I don't know how to explain it except for like my stomach kind of turning, like listening and learning about this individual in the beginning. And like, yeah. I was immediately like, I've read a lot of books and I was immediately just like put into what you were describing, the situation you're describing so easily. And I felt uncomfortable. Yeah. I felt really uncomfortable in the situation. So I just wanted to tell you, it's going to be in the queue. Yeah. I can't wait to read it and I'll promote the heck out of it as much as I can. But I really appreciate you sending me that book.
Wonderful. That's awesome. You know, we've had a lot of people actually say the exact same thing in the sense that it's so relatable that they have this sense initially, this feeling of like, whoa, this like really hit
yeah.
me home.
Yeah.
My life, you know?
Yeah, it's serious. It's
yeah.
serious.
Well, and we wrote it and it gets, you know, as you go further in the book, it's, you know, these two characters initially, Kevin and Elizabeth, who at the beginning, they're struggling on so many levels, you know, career issues, relationship issues, and even some addiction issues and different things. And as they learn basically through this book, they learn that initially they think that all the issues are outside themselves. They're
mm-hmm.
about other
mm-hmm.
people, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all this. And they start learning about, you know, the name of the book is called Addicted to the Monkey Mind, because they start learning that they have a predisposed way of thinking.
Yeah.
And that is really what's creating all the problems. And they start learning skills to navigate that and changing other people's lives. So
I think that's so interesting.
It's fun writing the book because it's all based on true stories.
Okay.
So really fun.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. I'd love to get more into that as well. But before we proceed, I gave a quick yeah. recap of the conversation in the introduction before we started speaking. But in your own words, would you mind introducing yourself to everybody? Like a quick little synopsis here?
Sure, that sounds good. So my name is JF Benoit. I'm actually the founder of the Exclusive Hawaii. It's a residential treatment center that we help people with all sorts of issues. You know, mainly I would say who are struggling with addiction or eating disorder or depression or have some, you know, major sort of issues in their lives. We also, you know, what's strange is in the last 10 years, we've had so many people come to our program and they say, you know, everybody should come to this program. And the reason is because it's a skill-based program. It doesn't focus on the behavior whatsoever because we believe that the real issue is the mindset we're stuck into. So it's a program that was created for that. And it doesn't really feel like your typical run-of-the-mill type of, you know, regular rehab centers or anything like that. It's a very alternative.
Yeah, I do I like that approach.
About 10 years ago, and I have just a wide range of experience before that. I used to own a publishing company in the 90s.
Okay.
So I've had, you know, business-wise, I've done many ventures, and I've been very privileged to have enough courage and enough mentors that have really helped me along the way to succeed. So it's been wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's very, very interesting. What's more interesting to me is that you're doing everything you're doing now, which is it's so many positive things, helping other people, which I'm huge on, not just starting with yourself and finding yourself and focusing on your mindset, as you said, but going out and reaching and helping other people. But you said you had a publishing, or you did publishing in the 90s. So what was like that shift for you? Because again, I kind of like talking and focusing a little bit on the transition of focusing on people and allowing them to understand that they can go towards something that they love and they enjoy. So a couple questions come to mind, but the first one would be, well, did you very much enjoy the publishing? And then is something that led in that time period kind of forced you or led you into the direction that you are now?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think this is an essential question that you're asking, because most people, I think we have this oftentimes this idea that we need to have it all figured out, you know, that we should have, you know, you ask even younger people, entrepreneurs or people who begin, they think that they should have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And what crazy amount of pressure to put on yourself if you haven't allowed yourself to experiment different things, you know? So, I discovered that ultimately my path was to be a counselor in life. I discovered that. But in the meantime, was I absolutely passionate about doing the publishing company? You bet. And that's what came initially, right? So it's allowing to trust yourself that you can start on a path, right? And you can fully immerse yourself into it, and something else will come out of that, right? So you'll grow yourself and you'll evolve. And we have to know that we constantly do so much better when we allow ourselves to evolve. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a quote from a famous opera singer who, you know, was super famous for 10 years. And then suddenly one day she decided to become a orchestra director. And everybody in the industry was saying, well, how can you do that? You know, and she would say, well, I've already done that. I've been an opera singer. You know, and there's many, you know, articles that have been written in terms of, it used to be that for most people, they had one profession, one career in their lifetime. And now it's like proven that today the average person will have six career in their lifetime. And we're not talking about just being a dishwasher in a restaurant. We're talking about a full-on career, like an architect and then being a doctor or whatever. And that's because we live in an information age. We have access to so much, right? So we can learn quicker. We can adapt quicker. So yeah, I think giving ourselves a chance to do what feels right in the moment and follow that and trust that it will evolve is an awesome thing.
Oh, man, I completely agree. Give yourself a chance. I liked everything you said, but I like the fact to like give yourself a chance, because like we're talking like you sell yourself short a lot of the times. And that's why I try to like there's a few like main pillars that I focus on, which we're kind of hitting on before. But one of them is just like I was selling myself short. Jeez, I'm like thinking right now for everybody listening. I'm like, my whole entire life, like in one way or another, I was selling myself short. So I've taken that knowledge and I'm like, well, then how am I selling myself short in the present? And I'm very much doing that. So then I try to apply that, learn from that. And then I've seen great leaps and bounds in my career and my personal life with that. And there's still a lot of struggle, of course, but I think that's very important that you mentioned. And I think it's just so fascinating that people are switching careers six times. And like you said, it's not just like I had a job for a summer or something. Like, these are legitimate careers. And yet another point is because you said of like technology and the intake of information is so much easier. And to me, I think that's such a wonderful thing. I see a lot of social media bashing, and I think it's just a tool, and I think you can use it for whatever flavor of information you want. But if you want to change your career, boom, it's right there and you can do it. So the last thing before we move on, I think it's very interesting again that you said you really did enjoy your job in publishing. And I think it's hard for some people to leave their jobs that they enjoy because they enjoy it. And also they're pretty terrified of the change that comes with it.
Yeah. And I think this is what's crippling most people, is that I think we get caught into believing that if we've learned something and if we've done it well, then we're going to try something new, that somehow everything's going to fail because, you know, because it's brand new, because we don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's an illusion of the mind. You know, it's a trick that we play on ourselves in a false sense of safety to say, I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. When in actuality, you got something pulling at you that's saying, hey, try this, do this. This is fun, you know? So I recommend that most people, what you can do about that is do baby steps. So don't go cold turkey. Don't do, you know, a big jump necessarily, but start like allowing a certain amount of time every week to dabbling in the thing that you want to move towards. And then you build it up, and then you start building your confidence. And then in no time, you'll make the change naturally, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, creating safety for ourselves is essential to change, and it's essential to growth. Most people don't realize that. You know, they put too much pressure on themselves, too much expectation, and don't have the ability to evolve in a way that's going to be conducive to making the change. You know?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And one of the things that I picked out that you said even earlier was, you were talking about this opera singer, and you said people were asking, you know, how can you do that? How can you do that? And I think I see that a lot as well, as there's a lot of outside people that aren't living your life. And they're just asking, you know, how can you do that? And I think a lot of times it may be because they were scared to make the change themselves. Have you experienced anything like that? I don't know. Were there people like holding? I don't know. Were there people like when you wanted to make the change, like you were saying, from publishing to counseling, were there people like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's very strange. And that's also what you're pointing out there. That does make it a little bit more difficult, because people get used to sort of an identity that they have about you, right?
Yeah,
so if you're the publisher, then that's the identity they have about you.
Yeah, so that's so funny. It's weird.
It's kind of, you know, so it's really important to really not sort of succumb to other people's view of what you should be. You know, and trust more your own intuition, really. Every entrepreneur, every great thing that's ever created, those were people who really took the risk to be daring, right? Mm-hmm. And to say to myself, no, this feels right. This is what I need to move towards, you know?
Yeah, that can be tough to do initially. But I think, like you said, I kind of picked up on, you didn't say momentum specifically, but you said when you start taking baby steps, start doing little things week by week, or day by day, week by week, month by month. And then before you know it, you have this insane momentum, and you're able to accomplish more and more and more and tougher things and even more tougher things. So I think that's a very great point, a very great point to bring up as well. And I love focusing on helping people. I really do. And the fact that you went into counseling, you've been doing it for 20 years, you've had your own treatment center for at least 10 years. And I think that's such a wonderful thing that you're able to do that. And I think it's one thing to go out there and want to help people, to want to be a counselor, but I think it can be tough. Like you mentioned entrepreneurship, going out there and creating your own center. I mean, that's a totally different avenue. You could have gone one avenue, like I said, helping a few people, but you've absolutely ramped it up. You know, you have a treatment center and you had a book. So what kind of pushed you even farther to want to be like, well, I know I want to be a counselor, but now, like you said, or like I said, you're doing the book and you have the treatment center. What was that shift to keep you going in that direction?
Well, I think here's another myth that I think we need to get sort of like, to get close to seeing the dynamic of the expectations we have of ourselves of success. So we think that if I move towards what I want to do, right, that I need to be able to succeed. And if I succeed, that's what will allow me to continue. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that that's actually not how life actually works.
Interesting.
There are a lot of failures along the way. Okay. And if you, you know, if you really do your research, you will find that any major successful self-made, you know, big time people, they usually went bankrupt usually one or three times during their progress, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you? That tells you that it's like you start on a journey, you start something and you make mistakes. So I'll give you an example. I mean, we actually went through a bankruptcy with our publishing company.
Interesting.
So no, we started in the early 90s and it was full blown in it by 95. But the industry of books, of publishing, got taken over by Barnes and Nobles and Borders. So imagine in the beginning of the year 1990s, 87% of bookstores were small independent bookstores. And we were selling to those people. Well, by the year 97, 98, 99, they were less than 2% of them.
That's quick.
So imagine we are an industry that was selling to an industry that was dying and we weren't even aware of it, mm-hmm. right? And so all the distributors that you know, basically had a, you know, many, many months of owing our company money, they ended up going bankrupt and there was a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
You know, the whole industry went belly up because of that. And it's kind of ironic because if you look 10 years later, right, Amazon put Barnes & Noble. And
That's such as life, though. I mean, is you know, so, you have to change. You have to adapt.
Yeah, you have to adapt. So the greatest thing for me that I found is I remember in those days thinking this is going to be the end of the world. Like I really thought, you know, how can I fail at something that I was loving doing?
Wow.
And, you know, and what does it mean about me? And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is to give ourselves permission to fail, like anticipate it and know that it's part of the growth and it's part of what's going to make you great. Is that you're going to have many failures along the way. And if you look, you know, there's a great entrepreneur book called From Good to Great. I don't know if you've ever read it.
One of my favorite books. I probably talk about it once a week.
Right. And one of the things that he mentioned in there is that really took at heart. Okay. Is he's saying the difference between a good leader and a great leader. One of the main difference is that a good leader, when he gets stressed out, and he gets a sense of anxiety, he's trying to manage it by trying to get rid of it. Versus a really great leader thrives on it.
Mm.
So he doesn't think when there's issues, when there's problem, he's not making it personal to him. He's not saying that defines my character, that defines who I am. He's saying, hey, this is a puzzle to solve. And if the puzzle doesn't fit or it all collapsed, great. We'll just move on and go to the next thing.
Yeah, you know? I love that.
And so developing that mindset, I would say, is the number one thing to do to really succeed in life. And, you know, I really wrote the book in that it was created from that mindset, right? So it's just like you follow these two characters who are following a very sort of old programming, conditioning way of thinking that was adopted by parents and society, and they learn to change that. Well, that's essential to success. It really is. Because the society we live in is fear-based and shame-based. Mm-hmm. And that's what we learn. That's how we learn to motivate ourselves, is with shame and with fear. And as long as we're stuck in that, it's very difficult to succeed, you know?
Sure. Yeah, fear is huge. I have a lot of conversations with good friends of mine that, you know, I have a 9-year background in the military and the Navy specifically, and there's a lot of fear transitioning out of there because the military provides such a great safety net. But take it a step further with literally any career you go to. I mean, I don't just focus on people in the military. Any career that you're going to do, any change that you're going to do, there's just so much fear there. And I'm like, what are you really afraid of? So I look into myself and I go, I'm afraid of what I don't know, and I don't even, like, there's literally nothing to be afraid of. I'm afraid of change. I'm afraid of what's to come, and I don't even know what's to come or what's not to come. And so I think, again, like I said earlier, I tried to apply that mentality. These are things that I was scared of in the past. I'm like, why are you still programmed to do this? So I love that you brought that book up, one, because it's one of my favorite books ever, and two, because the transcript that you pulled out of there is, like, thriving on that and being able to thrive on that. And that's one of the things, at least in my career, you know, I was always in these high stress situations. And there were times when at first I wanted to crumble, or I didn't know how to act or react. And the more I did it, again, with the experience and the momentum, I think all of it's kind of interconnected in its own way. And I get all these things together, and before long, I'm like, oh gosh, like, I kind of want, like, give me another challenge. Like you said, like, a puzzle piece or something like that. I'd like another challenge to solve, another puzzle to solve. And I think if we can at least start practicing that on our daily basis, maybe on smaller things, you know, then we can work our way up to being able to solve the more difficult puzzles, if you will.
Yeah. And one of the skills that I think the listeners can actually use in their lives is this principle. So imagine, like, think of a time where you were resilient. Think of a time where, so for me, if I look back at these publishing days and when that was happening, I remember actually going through the whole bankruptcy process, right? And I just remember thinking it was going to be the end of the world to go sit in front of a judge. And it's just, it was inconceivable for me to just not be accountable, you know? And we would try to come up with a plan. And even the judge says, look, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, it's like, you don't have enough resources here, you know? And so, and in the process, I remember one of the things that we did is we applied for a USDA program that was where 12 families actually got together to build 12 houses. So you were dedicated for an entire year, put your sweat into it. And the government, this was for first time home buyer who actually had a lot of financial struggles. So we qualified for all this. And so the entire year, basically, I dedicated my life to doing this thing while I was doing, my work on the side. And so here I am in a resilient moment that I know not only did I thrive during that failure, but I can see that it didn't affect my character, really, that I was that strong. Right. Mm-hmm. So the thing that we can do is if we can identify maybe four or five of those times in our lives, if you look back, even take the time to write it down, okay, sure. Be very specific. So when you hit a challenge time, go back and literally look at one of those things and then tell yourself, so how does that relate to this situation that I'm faced right now with? Okay. So that is a way where you concretely shift the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the mindset that's here now, okay, doesn't remember the one that when you feel depressed or when you feel defeated, you know, you're stuck in this mindset and you buy into that story. You believe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if in the moment you can actually bring back a time that was just as bad, right? And you look at how you thrive through it. And we all have those times. We all have, and we forget them, right? But the fact that you bring it back, what that does is it will actually regulate your nervous system. Because your mind cannot just buy into a positive affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very difficult to tell yourself something if there's no concrete evidence behind it to back it. But if you have that evidence behind it, literally your body and your nervous system will relax while you look at what you did before. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. A moment of resilience, and you look at your current situation and you could say, oh, well, I got this then.
Yeah.
I was really good then, so I got this.
Yeah, I love that. I love those three words. I got this. I have to tell myself that out loud all the time. And I'm a huge advocate of writing stuff down too. I absolutely love doing that. And I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast already, but obviously I love podcasting, but I've encouraged people to also put, like, grab your phone. There's a voice recording on here. For those who are listening, I'm grabbing my phone. You can go to voice memos and you can record your voice. And then, you can say what JF has said here as well. And then now you're hearing your tone, you're hearing your angst, your anger, all these little things. You're able to capture the voice, your own voice now too. And you're like, oh, I can't believe I felt like that. So I think being able to, these options, writing it down, some people would prefer that. Some people would prefer speaking. But I think being able to do that, being able to capture that experience and then revisit, I can kind of see exactly what you're saying of, like, having your brain attached to those exact experiences and then being able to pull from that and interject it into the present, because your present mind can't necessarily make those connections just arbitrarily or theoretically, like they have that concrete evidence in front of you. Like, this is what happened, and then be able to apply that to the now and the future. I think it's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. And the reason why it's so important is because it's not our fault, but the mind would rather predict doom than predicting success. And so it, and the reason it does that is it's a false sense of safety. So think of it. If I anticipate failure and then I fail, it won't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a really, really false sense of safety, because the fact that I'm anticipating failure is already defeating me before I can even move.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have a hard time trusting that, you know, those words I just said, I got this. We have a hard time trusting this because we're thinking already ahead of time that if I say I got this, but a failure happens, somehow that's going to mean something about me. It's going to redefine me, you see? And so if we keep in mind that none of the events or whatever it is that happened can never define you, doesn't define your power, your strength, your culture, your qualities, your values, it doesn't do any of that, right? So those are can never be taken away from you, right? So when you do that comparison, it readjusts all that at a nervous system level, and you can actually buy into this. Like I can stand in front of a challenge and go, hey, I survive a bankruptcy, and I thrive, and I build a house for a year, and I rebuild myself. Man, that guy is strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I love that. Yeah, no, so you're absolutely like, right.
Now I look at my situation and I go, hey, I got this.
Oh my God, I absolutely love that, because like, I always like saying like, well, you're listening to this podcast now, aren't you? Like, so you're here. Like, if you're listening to my voice right now, you've made it this far. Like, if you're reading the sentence, if you're hearing my voice, you made it this far. And no matter how many of these terrible things happen, you know, bankruptcy or fired from your job or the unfortunate loss of life or whatever terrible things we've experienced in our lives, you've made it here. And I love being able to take that mindset and apply it to the present and the future. And I think when you're able to do that on a regular basis and just say like, I got this, like I've made it before, I've made it through worse, and you know, I'm going to continue doing that. And I think, or I know that I love when you're constantly reaching back and I think it's so important to analyze the past and be able to learn from it and apply it to the present and the future. And a lot of what you're saying is that like learning from yourself and being like, I got this, and talking in the present like this. And a few times you brought up like, you know, what does it mean about me? What is it, you know, how is this defining me? And I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in that. At least I get wrapped in that. Like if I have this whiteboard here, I have all these tasks I need to do for the day, and I have like long-term goals that I want to achieve. And I feel like if I don't get some of these goals done, I'm like, I'm very goal-driven, and you know, like I love writing things down as well. And if I don't check all of them off, I'm like, I feel less about myself. So again, it resonates with me greatly, not being able to do certain things. But I would so recommend, like, I really love what you brought up. I would highly recommend anybody to do that, because like now I'm thinking about all these things, and I automatically, just hearing you say it, I feel better. Like,
yeah.
And it's just a feeling, but it's a reality too. Yeah. It's truth.
Yeah. And think of it, it's a discipline we can learn, is to interrupt the pattern of thought that we are what I call fused thinking. So meaning, imagine that most of us have a thought and we immediately attach to that thought, but we've never learned anything that leaves space between the thought I'm having and this one. So let me give you an example. It could be very simple, but it's just a slight interruption where suddenly your mind has to question what it's doing, okay? And that's a science. When you learned it, it starts shifting everything. So when you start, what's the first thing that happens when you go look at this list? What happens at the body level for you?
Sometimes right now, even you asking the question, I know I still have a lot of things to do in the night, and my stomach gets a little uneasy personally. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So this is the sign that we're infused thinking.
Yes.
So the body is giving us the information. We don't have to follow whatever thought we're having, we can know now. So when you have that in the pit of your stomach, okay? So now just breathe and ask yourself this question. I'm gonna say it out loud, and you just tell me what happens in your body when you hear the question, okay? All right, so who are you if you don't have a problem to solve?
I'm still me.
Okay, so now you let your body and you notice what happens to that sensation in the pit of your stomach, okay? So What we're doing is bringing awareness. So in order for us to not attach identity, because that's what we learn from society, that's what we learn from our parents, we are our achievements. We are our goals. You're a good person if you do X, Y, Z. You're a bad person if you do X, Y, Z. You see, it's all conditioning, right? And we don't have a choice on that conditioning because we all suffer from it, unfortunately. And that's one of the reasons why we wrote the book is because it's to help and give those skills to all these people to shift that conditioning. That creates success on every level, with your relationship, your career, everything you're trying to achieve. Remember that conditioning is going to hold you back, right? That's what I call the monkey mind. The monkey mind is all these thoughts that come randomly. Think of how many of us, okay? People can really relate to this one. How many of us trying to move in a direction and then suddenly this critic comes in the back of our mind? So it's like you're trying to lose weight. The critic's going to tell you that, yeah, well, not really. You're, you know, you've tried before, right? Or you see what I mean? Or it's going to make up some story, right? In the back of your mind.
It's crazy how it works.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I call the monkey mind. And if we are not, if we don't learn the skills to be in charge of that monkey mind, then it just basically takes over and no wonder we don't succeed. We have to learn a different way to think. You know, Einstein said my favorite thing. He said, you can't solve the problem from the same mindset that created it. And imagine that's what's actually happening for most of us. We don't realize that we're in a mind. The problem we're facing is not about the situation. It's not about other people. It's a problem that my mind has created it. And now I'm using the same mindset trying to solve it. It'll never work because the problem itself, right? Whatever I consider to be a problem was created by my conditioning. So it isn't really real. You know, for example, you probably have the belief when you look at your list that what will make you successful is if you get through that list.
I do feel better. That's for sure. Like that pit, that feeling in the pit of my stomach. And as I start to check off things, it slowly gets better. And then I can sleep easier. I can tell you that when it's done.
Right. But what do you think of the belief is attached to you? What happens if you look at your list is that once you accomplish what's on your list, then there are more things goes on your list, right?
Not for that day, but for the week, there most certainly are things in much longer terms. So yes, there are always, I think what you're getting at is yes, there is always, it's never ending. There's always, there's so always something else to do.
But what I'm saying is that the mind is attached to believe that success will come to you if you keep accomplishing those things. So is that true? So how come for some people they can accomplish 20 things and boom, they have success? How come other people can accomplish 50 things and then boom, they have success? How come other people have to accomplish 1,000 things and then boom, they have success? Is it related to the amount of things you're doing?
Or the quality,
So these are quirks of the mindset that we operate from, okay? We don't realize that, you know, I call this, it's like following your own limitations. You know, when Steve Jobs, I don't know if you saw the movie about his life, but at one time, you know, those things, those situations were based on true events that happened with him, right? But he walked into the room with his engineer and he says, I need a touch screen that's glass, that's a touch screen, right? And somebody that was in the circle said, well, that's not possible, right? And he said, I'm going to ask you to leave now, right? So why is he doing that? Is because in a way, when you are in a creative space and you also have a limited mind that's part of your creation, okay? And all suffer from this. We limit the possibility of our creation taking place. So it isn't dependent on these 20 things you have written. You could actually do one big thing that could actually change everything.
Yeah, I believe that for sure.
Yeah, so it's more about being able to develop this new way of thinking is very freeing in the moment. And it also frees up to realize how success is something that relates a lot more to an energy I carry in every moment than it is accomplishing tasks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I need that. I need to hear that. I do. It is helpful. And I always say these conversations are very much for me as they are other people. And I'd love to capture them and share them with other people, because I know that if I'm struggling with this, I guarantee you other people are struggling with this. And I think very much, like you said, a lot of us are just absolutely conditioned to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's epidemic in our society. Mm-hmm. And I think if you realize that, I think we isolate ourselves oftentimes, and we mm-hmm. think that we're the ones who suffer from, you know, a crippling inner crying.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And wow, we could go on forever. We went past 30 minutes, and I'm just like, wow, I feel a lot better already talking about it. And I appreciate you focusing in on me, because I'm sure, like I said, other people out there are feeling the same thing. So I can't wait to edit this and then listen to it again and keep on listening to it and apply that to my life more and more, because I deal with that very much. It's very real for me. And I think it's almost like I'm always focused on the end point and not so much, you know, they say like live in the moment. And a lot of times I'm just like focused on the goal. And not so much in like how you said, you know, focused on myself, how I am and who I am. So I'm very appreciative of you sharing that with me personally, and then for everybody else to hear as well. So thank you.
Yeah. And know that it's very challenging. I suffer from that as well. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think there's very few people who are entrepreneurs, who are goal setters, who don't also feel somewhat crippled by their goals and their vision, you know, because it's just, you know, we're driven.
Yeah.
We're driven people.
Yeah. And
it's great to be driven, but when it's just to the point where it limits your capabilities and your presence in this moment, it's not as productive as we can be truly, you know? So, and we have to have compassion towards ourselves, because it's not easy to master, right?
It's not easy to master, and we definitely are we're just so wired like that. So addicted to the monkey mind is very much a very real thing, and I just cannot wait to read it. I really appreciate you gifting that book as well. If people want to learn more about you, find you, get your book, that information will be in the show notes as well. But for all the listeners as well, how can they get a hold of you and the book?
Yeah, great. The book is actually one of the most reasonable way to get the books to go to the website is The Exclusive Hawaii. So three words spelled out, The, T-H-E, Exclusive, E-X-C-L-U-S-I-V-E, Hawaii, spelled out, .com. And we're offering the book half price, and it's free shipping.
That's awesome. I highly recommend it. Like I said in the beginning, I was reading the first couple pages, and I can't wait to get to it. It's not that many books away. I got a whole bunch of books lined up, and I'm just on this exciting book reading adventure, to say the least. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I've had a really good time. That's a whole other story why I'm doing that. But like I said, JF, I really appreciate it. The book, the conversation. I got so personal at the end, and you're just helping me. You were just doing what you do best, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate your time. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. That's been awesome.
Have a wonderful rest of your day. See you later.